Hi, and welcome to AzureConf. My name is Javier Lozano, and in this session, we're going to talk about how you can build your virtual conference on Microsoft Azure. So let's get right started. One of the things that I want to kind of talk to you today about is, first of all, is why it's important to know where you go about building your virtual conference. So I'll give a little perspective of kind of some of the things that we went through as we were building .NET Conf and ASP.NET Conf. As well as we're going to build a virtual conference, and we're just going to be pretty much in demos the entire time and see the flow of things. A little bit about myself. Again, my name is Javier Lozano. I'm out of Des Moines, Iowa, so right in the middle of the country. And I run a small software company there. So there's my email, my Twitter handle, and my blog in case you want to contact me. A little bit about the logistics of this presentation. So in order to kind of demo the power that Azure provides, I needed to kind of set up different GitHub repositories to showcase how the application gets deployed, how it gets consumed, and where the slides and demos and all those things will reside. So this slide here represents what you can actually go out there and figure out, oh, I need to go get the slides and source, I need to get the demo, and so forth. So, and we'll go about this here in a bit. Every time I do a talk, I try to have goals associated to it. So this talk has essentially three goals. Is that one of the things that I wanted to showcase with this is how you can literally have a solution-based approach to consuming and configuring Azure services. There's a great deep dive and a lot of different content out there that's related to Azure, but not really how you put it all together into a deliverable solution. So I hope I can get this point across with this. Also, is that I kind of want to show how you can take third-party services such as GitHub and integrate them into Azure to make your life a lot easier as you're developing your applications and you're deploying things. Lastly, since I'm an ASP.NET MVP, I wanted to showcase how Microsoft Azure is a great platform for developing ASP.NET applications quickly and efficiently. So how did we get here? It's interesting for me standing in front of the camera because typically during during .NET Conf and ASP.NET Conf, I've been behind the camera, running the conference, dealing with logistics and so forth. So being in front of it was a bit of a change. So I wanted to provide to you a bit of a context of how we got here. So like I said, we have ASP.NET Conf and .NET Conf. Both of these conferences grew over the past 4 years by starting, very simplistic and in different environments and gaining traction as we went through. And the one thing we realized that in order to adapt, we needed to find a platform that allowed us to try different things with the necessary pieces that we needed to get done. So I'll go back in the beginning here and talk a little bit about our original conference, which was MVC.conf. MVC.conf originally launched in 2010, and fortunate enough for us, we were able to have two of those conferences. Back then, we used a single shared host to launch the schedule site, to speaker bios, session listing, and all the logistics associated with each of the sessions. Unfortunately, in a good way, we ran into some capacity issues because a lot of people wanted to go get the content and they wanted to get it quickly. So our scalability for these applications didn't go as well as we planned. Also, deploying of it meant we actually kind of have to have an outage when we needed to go change a title or change a typo or do these things behind the scenes that are necessary for a conference to run. To kind of show you a bit of the logistics of the conference, when we did MVC.conf, we literally have one gigantic site. It was built on ASP.NET MVC, where we dumped all that information and delivered the content. Over the two times we did the conference, we were able to aggregate about 30 sessions composed of the community as well as the ASP.NET team to deliver to you, our viewers. In 2011, when we first launched the big conference, we had about 1,500 registers, which essentially the registrations for us was more of a gauge of how big do we need to prepare our resources so we're able to deliver content efficiently and with a little disruption to you, the viewer. And when we moved over to the next conference in 2012, we literally doubled our size, which in some respects sort of doubled our problems as well. So the conferences were very successful. We gained a lot of traction over the 2 years, but we also wanted to make things easier for us, the people running the conference. So one of the things that we started to do, we wanted to start implementing a mantra and the way we wanted to deliver content to you. So instead of having this gigantic website backed by a database and dealing with so many different views and controllers and so forth, we wanted to be able to say, hey, let's go with something smaller, right, that we can easily change without messing up the experience to the end user. Also, we wanted something that can allow us to burst capacity as we went live in the day of the conference, because we noticed that when we ran the conferences, you know, in the morning, we have a pretty good show of people, and in the afternoon, we had the ramp up because the different time zones across the globe were kicking in. So we wanted to make sure that we were actually delivering the expectations that everybody had. Also, we wanted to reduce overhead as much as possible. Believe it or not, when you're trying to just read data from the database, that's considered overhead to us, just because now we have to go do a query, even though it's very fast and SQL Server will cache it. It's information that we don't need to be updating so quickly. So we step back and trying to figure out how we reinvented the wheel when it regards to delivering that content. With the next set of conferences, ASPConf, we decided to take those tenants that I just described and see if we can go a little bit bigger, right? A little bit bigger as in let's go with a bigger audience, more sessions, and see if the ideas that we have will stick. So we decided to look at Azure as the platform for delivering these pieces. And the best part about it is that some of the problems that we ran into with scalability or reliability of the platform kind of went away just because Azure was handling all those problems for us. So it was nice to outsource all of that to the platform and just worry about the other logistics of the conference. Also, since it's a community-run conference, we didn't have that much of a budget. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't breaking the bank when it came to consuming a lot of resources or doing anything in particular that might upset the balance of our checkbook. So kind of the approach we decided to take is like, hey, instead of having, again, this gigantic site, let's have two sites. Let's have a micro site, which is where our marketing content lives. So if you go to www.aspconf, that's what you'll see. And then in the day of event, we created it live.aspconf.net, where you can actually go see the video stream, the schedule for the day, and allow us to scale those sites differently and provide optimizations as needed, rather than trying to bundle everything into one application. As you can see, when we first did ASPConf in 2012, we had about 8,500 registrations, which is great. You know, it's a huge bump from what we had the previous year. And the following year, we went up to about 11,000 registrations. And overall, between the two conferences, we had about 70 sessions, all delivered through a live meeting and as well here through Channel 9. So we had a significant burst that the platform allows us to leverage and handle accordingly. Then, again, with the whole purpose of trying to be nimble and trying to and fast, we wanted to, again, reinvent the wheel. And when we started talking about .NET Conf, we wanted to say, hey, let's go back to the drawing board and see how we can change things a little bit. ASPConf was a great success, and we wanted to take all the knowledge and lessons we had from there and apply it, but maybe at a smaller scale with different kinds of content. So that was the whole the notion behind .NET Conf. It's like, can we do more with less? And again, making sure we don't break the bank, and we're able to still maintain a high quality of content out there. The one thing we did notice, though, is that for the sessions that were outside of Channel 9, we had a lot of idle time for the speakers and attendees. So what does that mean? It means that the moment a speaker is trying to finish up and the other speaker is trying to set up on a live meeting, there's a lot of lull, right? So you as an attendee can easily get out of that room and go browse something else or go watch a YouTube video or something like that. So your attention was diverted away from the conference. So we wanted to make sure that we tried something that kept you focused and kept you engaged, because, you know, everybody was donating your time, the presenters as well as the organizers. So we wanted to make sure we were being cautious and very deliberate about what was the intent we were trying to deliver. And obviously the biggest thing here, just like we had with every other conference, was to have fun, right? We're doing this out of our spare time. We wanted to make sure that you, the viewer, were having fun consuming the content out there. And because of that, it was interesting enough, we actually didn't see that much growth with the conference. And the one thing that we think that the reason because of that, we had 4,000 in 2013, and this latest one we had here in this past June, we had about 4,500. And the reason why we think that that happened is because you, the viewer, have grown accustomed to, hey, I can watch the content later. It's being recorded. I can go catch it later in my own time, you know, when my kids are asleep or on my way to work or whenever, and allows you to actually focus more on the kind of content that you want to get. It's fine. It's never been about the numbers. Again, we use the registered attendees to gauge the size of how we're scale out the application. So anyway, here's a bit of history of kind of the things that we thought about and sort of really engineered every time we did a conference, which allowed us to pick the right solutions and the right approaches as we use Microsoft Azure. So let's get down to business. Like I said, I've been showing a lot of slides talking about a lot of numbers and so forth, but let's actually build a conference. So one of the things that I wanted to do for this one, I wanted to build something called YourConf. So the whole purpose of from here on to the end of the session is going through the steps that we typically go, somewhat modified, of course, for us delivering a microsite on Azure and providing some of the basic features that are out there. So there's a couple of requirements, though, that I wanted to showcase with this that we need for our conference. And one of the things is that I wanted this microsite to run in all U.S. regions. My apologies for every other region, but the reason why we're doing it is because I'm here in Redmond doing the recording, so it's easier just to keep the traffic here in the United States for this demo. Also, is that we wanted to be able to direct traffic to the closest data center, which you, the viewer, is located. So if you're in the East Coast, go to the East Coast data center. There's no point for you to go to all the way to the West Coast to get content, because that will, again, affect the speed and the experience that you get when you're trying to view your application. Also, if something happens to a data center or the application, right, we want to be able to quickly roll over some of that site to the closest data center. So if I'm in East, I may go to North Central, I may go to Central to kind of deviate some of that that load and experiences, again, back to you, the user. One of the things that we've implemented since we've been doing .NET Conf is actually be deliberate about application autonomy. And what I mean by that is that every application that we have out there, the microsite and the live site, is independent of each other. The reason why that is because, again, if something happens to the application for unforeseen reasons that we weren't able to load test or figure out, if it goes down, fine. We have enough other resources that, again, we can divert traffic across the different regions to allow you to, again, have a great experience. Also, being lightweight. So what does that mean? When you refresh the page, the schedule's there. There's less calls. There's less HTTP traffic. And some of those minor things that we as developers sometimes forget because we're busy focusing on the code or on the features, that to the end user is very important. You don't want to sit there and wait for content to load when you have other things to do. Also, the big thing here is we wanted to make updates as seamless as possible. So what does that mean? It means that if we needed to change session times because we had a speaker conflict, we wanted to be able to shift session X to the slot of section Y and vice versa. So we want to be able to make that change quickly and have it be dispersed across all the regions where the application is running at. So let's talk about our tool set. Believe it or not, we use WebMatrix as the main development tool for this just because, again, we want it to be fast and nimble. And obviously we use Microsoft Azure as the platform from for everything, ASP.NET as the delivering platform, GitHub, and I'll show how we use GitHub in regards here in a bit, and a robust DNS. And it's funny because typically people don't think about DNS. And as we've discovered throughout the years, DNS is very important to be able to, again, configure the sites and let the internet and the applications and the way the Azure works do some of the heavy lifting for us, so we can make, again, those kind of on the spot decisions if something were to arise. Now, here's the caveat, though. Some of the stuff that I'm going to show you is been somewhat tailored differently for this presentation, just because I don't have enough time to cover all the differences and all the how do we do content delivery and those pieces in here, because that's we can talk about that for hours and in a different scenario. Also, a lot of the content that we have out there, Scott Hanselman has blogged, so here's a link that I created that points back to the blog post, which shows how we were able to build a virtual two-day conference for about $10. And it's pretty neat because he kind of steps down through all the steps and pieces and kind of helps you assemble that, which I will be doing here a little bit more. So let's talk about demos now. So let me finish my presentation here and we can get started. All right, so let's take a look at our demo. I have built a simple demo application that will build as the session goes, but I kind of wanted to show you what the end picture will look like so you get an understanding of what we're really building. As you can see here, we have a microsite of YourConf where it displays the video placeholder. Right now we're using YouTube just because it was simple for us to wire it up, along with the schedule. You can see there's a keynote, there's sessions about ASP.NET and .NET. And again, all this code is available out in GitHub for you to download and try out. Also, one of the things that we're using in this demo is we're using Traffic Manager, which means that we're actually load balancing this ASP.NET application across two different regions. And again, as we progress here a little bit, I'll show you how you set that up and how you go making sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed so you get the best bang for your buck. But the cool thing about this is that you can build a small application such as the YourConf Video Hub, and again, control the experience for you, the end user. So here we see Scott with his hands up, you know, ready to say, hey, let's get started with this great conference. But if there's a lull in the sessions, you know, we're changing speakers, or we have technical difficulties, we're able to use the Video Hub to change the video on the fly. So right now, anybody who's connected to this website has been told to update their browser to view the Guardians of the Galaxy movie trailer. Or say you don't like the Guardians of the Galaxy, you want to see more of the Avengers. We can easily switch that. So what allows us to do is allows us to have more control as the session goes along. So how did we build this? First of all, let me close these windows and kind of show you how things are currently set up. If we go to the Azure portal, one of the things that you'll notice down here is that I have several different websites set up. There is a demo website and demo 2. As you can see, this demo that I just showed is running in both West and Central US. But I've also set up different ones. I set up East US, East 2, North, South, and West. So one of the things that I wanted to show you was how we go about deploying the application to the central region, which, believe it or not, it's actually about 10 minutes from where I live. So the cool thing about it is that we can go through and quickly add the website. So let's see what the website currently looks right now. So if I were to go to yourconf-us, and as you can see here, I have already some of them listed. I have north, south, east, east 2, and so forth. If I actually were to go to the west region, by just changing the URL here, you would see a pretty plain site, right? And if we switch to east, you see the same thing, north and so forth. And that's just there as a placeholder, right? I kind of wanted to kind of kickstart the conversation there. So let's go and create the central region first. However, One of the things that we need to go and configure first is look at is the endpoints that Azure would care to know about with regards to how to manage the load balancing across the regions. So, all right, before we deep dive into that, let's look at the code behind the scenes to kind of see how things are work. As you can see here, I'm in Web Matrix, and the site's pretty simple. I have a default page, I have my web config, the bin folder, the standard, you know, simple ASP.NET application. There's also another file in here called ping.cshtml. And what this is a simple page that just responds a 200 status code and plain text to say, hey, here's just the information. And one of the things it goes out and does, it actually goes out and reads a value from the configuration file and displays, hey, here's the region where I'm currently running. So what does that look like? If I go back to the West region, again, we see the site. And if I go slash ping, you'll see that it returns US West. So we'll step here and kind of show you how this thing, these pieces get configured. And the reason why this is important is because, again, this allows us to kind of set up an endpoint for configuring with the load balancing. So back at the portal, I'll go new, custom create. Now, mention that we wanted to deploy this to US Central. So my URL will be yourconf-us-central. And this allows us to create a website out of that region and configure it as need be. So I'll go down here. I already set up pre-subscriptions that we have out here. I'll set up in US Central. And here's the kicker. Here's where actually the magic behind the scenes takes place, is that we want to be able to enable deploy from source control. And the reason why that's important is that by selecting it, I can now select GitHub, where the source code lives. I can hit next, and then I'll be prompted to choose the repository in which the source code lives. Now, if I scroll down the list and I search for yourconf, I have this this piece of code here called this repository yourconf. I'll hit OK, and what it's doing behind the scenes is going to go and actually create the website. So if I scroll down, you can see that it's creating yourconf-us-central. We'll wait here until the portal finishes it up, and then we'll take a look at what it looks like. And there we go. So I can actually click in that URL, wait for a second, and the site has been created. Now, I did tell it to pull from GitHub, and the one thing you, if I were to drill down a little bit more, I can go click on deployments and see what's behind the scenes that happened. So after Azure went out and created the website for me, I saw the default page, hey, here's a brand new website, you know, this is awesome, use it. But behind the scenes, the Azure website's runtime was going out and fetching the latest commit from GitHub and pulling it from there and displaying it. So, and it says initial commit for the repository, added the ping URL and so forth. And it says it's been deployed, so I can now go to this URL, refresh it, and I can see that, hey, your comp has been deployed, again, pulling it from GitHub. And I'll show you here how that gets wired up in GitHub in a bit. So if I go to the ping URL, which we covered here, it says not specified, which is the standard behavior that we're expecting. So if nothing's configured, because we haven't gone deep into the configuration of the Azure site, it says, hey, I don't know what data center I'm running in. So let's deep dive into some of these settings here. Now, I'm already running in a standard VM, a small standard VM to be exact. And the reason why I need that in order to be able to leverage the traffic manager, again, the thing that connects all the pieces together. So all I need to do right now is configure the settings for the website. So as I go through, let's go and actually configure those settings. All right, so if I go through, obviously I'm not running PHP, so I'll shut that off. I want to configure 64-bit. We'll be using SignalR, so I would like to use WebSockets. And I will, I want to use always on because I want to keep the site nice and warm for when users come in. As I scroll down, I also want to be able to have a different domain associated to it. So if I go to www.yourconf.net, I want to be able to relay that information to Azure so it serves it correctly. So for here, I'll type in www.yourconf.net, and we'll wait for a second, and you see the checkbox has appeared. That means that I've done the necessary steps on my DNS to configure the trust between the DNS provider and Azure to validate that I do own that domain. I'll hit OK, which will add it to the queue for processing. Now, if I scroll down, I want to get down to the actual application settings area. And the reason why that is because if you recall from the code, I'm pulling a value out of the setting so then I can display it via the ping URL. And that key is conf.location, and I want to say US Central. All right, so that's it. That's the minimal configuration we have with this website. I'll hit save. And behind the scenes, all these settings are going to go back and get compiled and setting and redeployed. So I can come over to this ping URL, hit refresh, and here in a second, it takes a little bit of while for it to do it because, I mean, we're hitting the website for the first time, and you can see that US Central is actually being fetched. But we're not done yet. Again, all we've done is just configure that individual site. So now we need to make it part of the greater whole, because one of the things, if I go to www.yourconf.net, you'll see the same website. And if I go /ping, this allows me to round robin. So I had set up Traffic Manager in such a way that it gets me to the closest region. This one being obviously the US West region because I'm in the West Coast. So let's go and actually configure it to go and use the central region. So for that, I'll go to this other menu item over here. I'll max this out. If I scroll down, there is a section called Traffic Manager. And I already have a yourconf, which kind of shows the information about here's the statistics, here's how many hits, here's how many queries. And as you can see, I've been going through and configuring things as we get set up for this demo. If I click on endpoints, this is where I can actually choose the specific Azure service that I want to load balance, right? Whether it be a failover or performance or round robin, it's particular to my needs. So I can click add, wait for the list of it to show up, and you can see here that it already has yourconf east, east 2, north, south, and west. Now I want to opt in central. So I want to select from the dropdown, select website, which will allow me to pick the central site that is right here. As soon as I check it, you can see it's been added to the list. I'll minimize this so I can get the OK button. I'll hit OK. And behind the scenes, now it's actually being added to the greater bucket, right? So I'll wait here a bit, and we'll drill down on how the Traffic Manager and the website kind of come together. But before we do that, I kind of want to show you how the Traffic Manager is currently configured. So as I wait for these settings to show up, and I scroll down a bit, I'm using the URL yourconf.trafficmanager.net just because it made sense and it was available too. I've also set the time to live to 30 seconds. Now, the reason why I went so low, typically it's about 300 seconds or about 5 minutes, is because I wanted to sort of show the demo that, hey, if something were to happen, the most the user will have to wait would be 30 seconds. So what how does that mean if an application has an issue and it tells the traffic manager, oh no, I'm having, you know, having issues, please pull me out of the pool, it would be 30 seconds before the DNS gets refreshed back on the client, and then you're redirected to a different data center. So again, some of that built-in failure management is already handled for us. All right, and the load balancing method I went with was performance, again, redirecting traffic to the specific regions, again, East Coast to East Coast, Central to Central, and so forth. But I could have chose round robin or failure if I wanted to. But for our case, we went with performance. We're using HTTP No custom ports. But the big thing here is that down on the bottom is that we're using the ping URL. And the ping URL is the thing, the endpoint, that the traffic manager will go out and ping from in at different intervals and say, hey, are you still good? Are you still good? And if the that URL returns 200, okay, yeah, hey, everything's hunky-dory. It doesn't matter what else it returns. It just says, yep, I'm cool. Then the traffic manager will keep it inside the website pool. Now, if I switch back to the ping URL code, I can pretty much do anything I want to here, right? So if I'm using SQL Server behind the scenes and I want to make sure that the queries are doing well or performing depending on my needs and so forth, I can add this custom code here, right? Whether it be in a CHTML page, a handler, an MVC controller, a web API controller, whatever you want to do, right? You can definitely add it here and add whatever checks that you have. So that way, in case the application has any issues or the resources the application uses has issues, you can then make a smart decision to opt that application outside of that load balancing rule, which is kind of nice because that way you know that, hey, this application's having issues, and you provide, again, that good experience on it. Now, you can take a third-party service such as Pingdom or New Relic and be able to add alerts in case you run into an issue that, hey, this thing is performing well. You can get a text, you can get an email, and you can actually know ahead of time and know that the infrastructure, the way you configured, is handling things appropriately. So anyway, we go back over here, and we're able to see how these things are configured. Now, again, yourconf.net is configured as the main domain. But if I were to go to the DNS settings for yourconf.net, and we use a company called DNS Made Easy just because it made DNS easy for us, you'll see that we only have pretty much two records configured. For the other conferences, we have different records, CNS, CNAMES and ANAMES and so forth, because we're doing different things. But for this one, there's only two. The first one is the AW Verify, or Azure Web Service Verify, which is the thing that allows us to add the www.yourconf.net to the Azure website. The other one is the mapping to www.yourconf.net to yourconf.trafficmanager.net. So that's where we're able to say, hey, if some user goes to their browser and types www.yourconf.net, our DNS provider would say, oh, well, that's just really this traffic manager endpoint, and I'm just going to forward them there, and allows us to shift all of the configuration and all the management to Azure rather than going back between DNS provider and Azure and back and forth. Just so much simpler. As I mentioned earlier, if we go look at sort of what changes by adding the central website has done to our application, I can scroll back up here, look at websites, select the central one, and choose the configure tab, scroll down a bit, and I can see that an extra domain name has been added. And it's this one, yourtrafficmanager.net. It's yourconf.trafficmanager.net, which essentially is, that is the key or the link between the traffic manager and your website. So if I were to go through every single configuration of all the sites that we have out there in this load balancing scenario, you will see the exact same configuration, which is great because we want to just configure once and allow the platform to do what it's meant to do. All right, so the cool thing about it too is that if, as I've been mentioning, I can actually go to the, if I go to the traffic manager and say an issue were to arise, so say for example, the West region goes away, or connectivity or something like that, we can actually go and see how it's listed here, West. We can actually go force an error out, and we can use this for testing purposes. So I can hit a website, I can scroll down and see your conf US West. I can hit stop, which literally it's all it's gonna do is gonna tell that website, just stop running. Don't do anything else. So if I go to www.yourconf.net, you'll see this. Oh, the website's still there. Well, I wonder which URL I'm pinging. And you notice it says US North. So earlier in the demo, I showed how it said US West when we go out and view it, because US West is no longer available. The traffic manager did its job and said, hey, there's something wrong with this application. I can't hit that ping URL. Oh, well, then I got to route you to the closest data center, and that would be US North. So again, it kind of shows you some of the resiliency that you have out there available to you by having some of these things set up the way they are. All right, so let me go back to that URL, and let's go from here. So I'll close this management console. And the thing, though, that sort of wires these things together, is I was mentioning, is GitHub. If you go to your settings for GitHub, for your GitHub repo, one of the options that you have available to view are called webhooks and services. So remember when I created a US Central site and I went file new, deploy from source control, selected GitHub, and went down to that repo? Well, what's doing behind the scenes is that there's that trust, right, between Azure and GitHub, that Azure is telling GitHub, it's like, hey, by the way, I would like to know whenever there is an update on your code base. So in case the source deployment is configured so that way I get to know that, I can go fetch the latest code, recompile it, and deploy it. So as you can see here, we have the South, the East 2, North Central, the East, and the West. You don't see the Central because I haven't refreshed the page yet. But if I refresh it, you can actually see Central showing up at the bottom, which we did part of the demo. So the nice thing about it is that as I go through regions, if I want to take this conference and load balance it between US and Europe and Southeast Asia or South America, you would eventually see just more webhooks being added to the setting. And each of these independent sites will go out and fetch the code. Now, the downside of that is that every site has to go and fetch the code and recompile it. There is no unified package that you're pushing to all the sites. There's ways you can do that, but we opted not to do that because our websites are pretty small. 3-4 pages, 4 classes. So the deployment was pretty much minimal for us to get the most bang for the buck, rather than trying to manage a package that then we have to deploy across all these different websites. We just push to GitHub. GitHub does all the heavy lifting for us, connects to Azure, and everything else just magically works. So that's a little bit about how those pieces work. Now, the next thing I'm going to do here is actually I'm going to fast forward a little bit. You know, our website is pretty basic, but we want to be able to add a schedule and a listing of speakers. So I've already pre-done that, so I'm just going to fast forward our Git repo to it. And you can see here, if I show you, that I can just right-click and I hit refresh. And all you'll see is that now I have more files, right? So I have the schedule, the speakers, and a couple more pages under on the website. Now, one of the things I said earlier in the presentation is that we went through and tried to reduce as much overhead as possible. One of those overheads was database calls, because we wanted to be able to, again, deploy quickly, make whatever changes we needed to, and then just have the system pick it up and deploy it. So what we did is we took the approach of taking the speaker data, which is somewhat static, and the schedule data as well, and deploy it out as part of the app data folder. The reason why that is because we can easily come here through WebMatrix or at any text editor, make the change, do a git push, and then allow all the sites to propagate. Along with that, one of the things we were able to do is actually build caching into the application. Now, why do we have caching? Because we wanted to reduce the amount of I/O of reading the file every time. So what does that mean? It means that the moment that file gets read, it gets read and it's thrown into just system.web.cache. And then it's stored for about 12 hours because it doesn't need to go and fetch it. And if we need to refetch it, we need to update it. And again, that happens via a git push, which forces the website to recompile and the cache sessions to pretty much go away. So instead of actually building this fancy screen behind the scenes of telling it to cache and do all these different things, we just figure out, well, what's really the flow? You make a change, you push it, the website reboots, and bam, you're there. So when it reboots and it reconfigures, everything that was there before gets thrown away and it gets reloaded. So if they're in the middle of the day, we have to make a schedule change or change somebody's name or picture or whatever that is, we can just do it here, do a simple push, and be on our merry way. Also, we can actually make the changes via GitHub. That's one of the features that GitHub allows you to do. If you want to be able to commit a change or change something on that, I can literally just go to the web browser, click on the file that I want to edit, hit edit, make whatever changes, and in the bottom it says, hey, please tell me your commit, just like I'll be doing in regular GitHub command line or whatever GitHub tool that I use. The moment I hit commit, again, all the webhooks associated to that repo get fired off and they get deployed. The downside of taking that approach, though, is that now you have to remember to go and fetch the code, right, and pull it locally. So we have only done that once or twice when we needed to make the changes, but also had a mental note to go do a git pull to have the latest and greatest in our site. So if I run the application, you can see here is that, hey, now your conf is become, the site's looking a little more similar to what we have there in the demo site. So I can click on the link and I say, hey, Scott Guthrie's keynoting at your conf. And here's a little bit about Scott. And here's Scott Hunter with, you know, and talking a little bit about him and so forth. So we were able to, again, make those changes quickly and have it out there. And again, to get the code out there, I can just come over here and let me do this, doing git k, git checkout master, and do git k. And the only reason why I'm doing this is because, again, I'm just sort of stepping through the source code. So I'll go here and I'll reset the branch to this. So I'm in this branch and I can do git push origin master. Which behind the scenes, all this is going to do is going to take that commit, push it out to GitHub. And once it gets to GitHub, GitHub will go out and trigger all those webhooks that are available out there. So if I go to the management portal here and I go look at deployments for US West, and I just refresh this, since the portal was sitting there a little idle, you shall see that the new deployment is being picked up and processed. You can see it just got deployed and says added the data and speakers for the session. So I can actually go to yourconf.net, hit refresh, and ta-da, we're updated. And again, remember, this is load balance. So I don't know which session I'm going to right now, but I guarantee you that I'm hitting US West. Oh, sorry, US North, because I forgot, we shut that off. So if I come over here and we turn US West back on, it will eventually get that pickup and go from there and deploy the app. And we were able to view it here within a couple seconds or a minute or so. So, but again, that's sort of the power that we wanted to leverage as we went forward with these settings. So the next thing that I wanted to show you is how we actually are pulling the URL from another XML file so we can display it out there. All right, so like I said, let me switch over here. Let me go get checkout demo 3. And the reason why I did these tags is because as you go through the code is you can easily go through and sort of replay these pieces. So I can right click in here and hit refresh. And you can see that I've added the video streams XML. And the video stream XML is nothing more than just the ID of the YouTube video, right, of that we're displaying by default. Now, I could actually have a URL, I can have whatever I need to, but for this instance, we opted not to do it. Once the file is read, it's read once, it's being cached. So if I needed to update it, I need to do a deployment, but if I'm doing a deployment, again, it's because I'm changing some things, so that's okay by our book. If I go to default CHTML, you'll see that it's pretty basic. It does two things. It goes out and gets the video URL to know what to display. And it also goes out and fetches the conference. So I can easily say, hey, conf day one, conf day two, or I can render whichever as need be. But based on the video URL which we added, it goes out and fetches it, and we put it inside an iframe which is hosted inside of a div. So we can do something like this. If we run this, you'll see it, and there's the video hosting. But the way the div is set up is that it's responsive, so as we shift it, it scales that viewer to whatever size that it needs to. And alongside of it, the schedule adjusts, right? And allows you to see those pieces. Again, pretty straightforward, but we're pulling the information out of that XML file and do as need be. All right? Again, if I go to www.yourconf.net, it's still out there. It hasn't been updated. So to do it, let's do the git dance one more time. Let's check out to master. Oh, sorry, git k, git checkout master. Had a typo there. Git k dash dash all, just so we can see the entire thing. And I can actually go switch and say, hey, let's switch the commit to this branch here. It switches, and I can go up here and do a git push origin master. Again, it's going to go out to GitHub, take the commit, push it, and allow it to pull it. So if I go back and view it, some of these sites are picking up the changes. If I hit refresh, and there you go. That's how quickly it happens. So again, that agility, being nimble, being fast, that's what our Azure allowed us to do. It allows us to choose differently. And again, we're doing all this in a small VM. If you need something bigger, you can definitely scale out and set auto-scaling and all those configurations as you need be, depending on what your needs are. But this is just pretty straightforward for us to just say, hey, we need something small, and if we need to scale that, we can do it. And doing that, we can, again, set up the configuration to do it, write a PowerShell script, or use whatever tool out there that that allows us to configure Azure easily. All right? Now, the next part of the demo is a little bit more around kind of how we're doing the video updating. So you remember, we had when the demo started, I had the video of showing Scott, and I had the other video, the video hub, that allows us to push updates to the video player, to the microsite that is located in these different data centers. So for this, we opted to mix it up a bit, and I decided to use Visual Studio, right? Because it wouldn't be a ASP.NET demo without showing Visual Studio. And the application that we've built is actually pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. There is, again, a default CHTML, no need for MVC. It's very, it's a great tool, but for what we're doing it here, it's a little bit of overhead. We have startup CS, which is required by SignalR, and we have a video hub. And the scripts that host jQuery, SignalR, jQuery extensions, and other things that we can reference within our application. So if I look at startup.cs, this is where we do most of our configurations. Now, line 7 outlines the documentation out on ASP.NET that tells you how to do cross-domain SignalR. And the reason why that's important is because, as I've been mentioning throughout this demo, is that we have all these sites running in the different regions. And we need to be able to tell all of them, go update this information. Well, I could take the site and I could build it into each app, right? And So that way I can have a back, you know, I can have a back door that says, hey, here's my password, select this video, do X, do Y. Well, if I'm load balanced, I'm gonna go to the closest one. So if I need to update the West Coast, I really can't update the West Coast because I'm only updating to the application where I'm currently residing. So I have to manually go using the Azure Websites.net URL to each of the regions that I have and go update them manually. If you have a lot of time, that's okay. If you don't have a lot of time, then you want something that is that could be just update once and it tells everyone to go update it. So the way we tackled this problem was to configure SignalR to allow for cross-domain requests. What does that mean? And it means that we can actually host the SignalR updater, the video hub, in a different URL. For this instance, AzureWebsites.net. So we can go to yourconf-videos.azurewebsites.net, run it, and the video hub will display and allows us to make, you know, to change the videos as need be. And the clients, again, the microsites running all the regions, can allow for the exchange of the SignalR data across the domains. So one of the things that you have to do is that you have to be able to enable JSONP for older browsers if you want to support that, or you want to use cores setup. And all this part is actually configured as the manual mapping for SignalR. And that's pretty much it. So out of the box, we just tell SignalR to use cores or JSONP for this cross-domain enablement. And that's pretty much it. So if we jump into our hub is really not that complicated, right? Our hub says, hey, I'm the master, right? I'm going to tell all the clients connected to me that you need to update. And that video ID, again, the YouTube video ID that's out there, you need to go and use that and then update your websites, your web players accordingly. Now, if we look at the actual CHTML file and how this works, it's pretty straightforward. We just have a reference to the video hub. When you hit the play video button, you can just tell the server, hey, by the way, server, this action was invoked. Go tell the hub that this happened, and the hub just relays that information to all the clients. And this, again, just like everything else, is being deployed via GitHub. So we just do git push origin master, the code goes out to GitHub, and you know the story by now. And it makes it pretty simple. So if I were to show you again what that looks like, I think I closed it. It's this, just a simple site with the placeholder, and these are hard-coded just because, again, demo purposes. So we can read this from an XML file, we can read it from the database, whichever overhead we want to add to it. That's pretty much up to us or you, allow this to relay. Now, that's part of the story. The other part of the story is actually showing how we go and configure the actual website to pull from this third-party SignalR hub. And the way we do that is we have to actually configure SignalR on the client side a little bit different. So let me do check out to that part of the demo. So we'll go to demo 4. And again, we'll update, cancel. Let me close all the tabs. Just to avoid this, don't save. Right click and refresh. And everything stayed the same, except that now we've added SignalR, right, to our application. So if I go to default.chtml, which is the main page, again, we see the video URL, we see the conference that we have there so we can build a schedule. And we've added this script section. And the script section is where it allows us to configure, hey, here's where you pull jQuery from, right? Here's where you pull SignalR jQuery, and here's where you do X. And one of the things you'll notice here is that we're actually using that URL that's hosted on Azure. So if you see yourconf-videos at azurewebsites.net, we're pulling jQuery, so we're making sure they're in parity with the jQuery that SignalR is using. We're pulling jQuery SignalR for the plugins. And typically, you see this as /SignalR/hubs because you're probably hosting SignalR inside the same application. Here's a little bit different. We actually reference that URL out there. So what does that mean? It means that if I'm the browser and I'm going to go and download it, here's what I'm really downloading. I'm just downloading another JavaScript file. And this is the SignalR proxies that get created for you. Now, you can actually use a command line tool that comes with SignalR to go out and generate that JavaScript proxy file, and then you can put it in a CDN, or you can just put it in your website. The reason why we left it as this is because, again, if we're making changes and it's minimal and we're adding compression and all the different things to our website, just leave it there. You know, the website should be able enough to handle the delivery of a small JavaScript file. So if you scroll down, you can see, you know, all the different code that gets generated for you. And if I scroll down to the bottom, you can see where the actual video hub proxy is being created and the configuration is set up. So a lot of people don't know that you can actually do that, just because, again, it's just another resource that you're pulling from a website. So taking this approach, it allows us to, again, centralize the hub and then have multiple clients running from different regions. So if I scroll down from this URL, we have very simple JavaScript to just say, hey, whenever the video ID is, we're creating the token, and we're telling it to autoplay because we just want it to start playing, again, because we're using the videos as commercials as we go through it. But if you look down here in line 20, one of the things we're doing is that in the hub itself, connection.hub.url, we're actually specifying which SignalR endpoint to pull from. Again, this is the cross-domain setup that we've configured in the hub application, where we can say, hey, yeah, we're cross-domain enabled, so anybody can pull from us. And we set the URL to say, yep, here's the URL /SignalR. So when I deploy this to West, to Central, to North, or whatever region it is, Asia, it doesn't matter. I can actually go out and put it out there and be able to all relay that information through. And right underneath of it, we create the video, so that way we have line 24 to 26 is the thing that actually responds to the client side event, sorry, the server side event that says, hey, by the way, here's a video ID, update your video player. And obviously, in case we disconnect, we connect again. So if I run this, notice that I'm running this locally here, and I'll pull the, if I can find it. So buried somewhere in here. Oh, I'll just pull it again. And I'll pull this guy right there. Sorry for the switching. And I can actually say, hey, Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's working the way we expect it to work out live. And notice that it's actually running in localhost. So I'm actually hosting this inside IIS Express, inside WebMatrix, but it's working the way I would imagine to work in production. And again, we can switch to the Winter Soldier and see that everything is working the way you want it to. Now, you can go all out and say, hey, here's the ID, or here's the content, and update different pieces. We haven't done that yet, but you can definitely go to the extra mile and enable that as you go. All right. So, and when you refresh the page, it just defaults to whatever is in that XML file. So, let's do this. Let me do git checkout master, git k. Let me reset here the master to that one. Yep, don't care. Git push origin master. Take it, push it out there, and again, the video hub has been running in Azure for some time. That can have a different life cycle. We can add updates as need be. We can add functionality on it. And the best part about it is that since it's a centralized service, other conf's can benefit. So if I have my conf later this year or anything else, I can literally leverage that service again without really reinventing the wheel, which is pretty neat. Again, it's more of that agility and being nimble and being adjusting to changes. So I'll close this site. And if I go to yourconf.net, which we had here a while back, refresh it, there's a video, everything's showing there. And if I look at the video player and tell it to use Guardians of the Galaxy, you can see it's actually updating. And again, this is all load balance. And if I were to go out and look at it again, and it's running out of the US West region. So this is how we're able to deliver the content that you've grown accustomed to, that you like, that you always want more of, which so I thank you for that, out and quickly using a great tool like Microsoft Azure. So let me go back to the slides here and we can finish up a bit. All right, so in closing, thank you very much for taking the time to learn a little bit about the magic behind these virtual conferences. There's a lot of work that goes into it, but it's totally worth it when we know that you, the attendee, is happy with the content, want to come back for more, and it allows us again to get pumped and fired up for delivering the next great content, because as you can see, it's a lot of fun putting them together from the technology side. So the more challenges you throw at us by adding more people or being more globally distributed, it really forces us to really think the problem, go back to the whiteboard and figure out how do we put things together. Again, here are the logistics for the for where the code lives. The first URL is where the slides and the code samples all together is out there, so you can download it, clone it, and do whatever you need to it. The yourconf URL, which is the middle one, that is where I went from demo 1, demo 2, demo 3, all the Git things that I was doing, that's full there. So if you want to go and replay all that side by side while watching this session, please feel free to do so. It's meant to be that way. And also the video hub is out there as a separate thing. So the two together, you can take it, you can deploy it at whatever region you want, and or run it locally, run it internally, it doesn't matter. Right, it's up to you, because you can literally run this on-prem if you want to, and have a blast doing it. So thank you very much for joining us today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of AzureConf.